Please remain standing and let's pick a text. Romans chapter 14. Let's pick a text. Romans chapter 14, verse 11 and verse 12. Very popular verses, but just for admonishment. That scripture says 11 and verse 12. Romans chapter 14. It says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God." May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word, and may he grant us understanding of this exhortation today, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Be seated. Hallelujah. There's a scripture in Hebrew chapter 6. Let's read it. Chapter 6. Hebrew chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. Hebrew chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, "Therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism and the laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit." If God permit, let us go on unto perfection. And what I want to exhort today is concerning those who have made up their mind to go to heaven. Those who are working hard to go to heaven. Those who have determined that this rapture, I will go. I am waiting for the coming of the Lord. How many of them are here today? I didn't say everybody should put up your hand. I mean those who have determined that they will go to this rapture. Let me see your hand again. Thank you very much. Amen. You are the one I want to target, because this is not an evangelistic message I am preaching. I am preaching the message for perfection. And perfection here is maturity. That we will grow to maturity every day. Baptism in the name of Jesus. Baptism in the name of Jesus. Don't steal, don't kill, don't do this one. Apostle Paul said, don't do, let's move forward. Christianity is deeper than that. Hallelujah. And this is very relevant so that people will follow this thing very systematically. Because we today will be looking at the parable of the talents. Today we are looking at the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. And what is a talent? A talent is a unique God-given ability. That is my own words. I didn't see it in the dictionary. I don't know what grammarian said, but this is my understanding of what a talent is, especially in relationship to service of God. A talent is a unique ability. God-given ability. A talent is otherwise known as a special gift. And take note that it is God-given because you don't learn it. You don't learn it. You don't go to acquire it. You don't acquire a talent. It's people who already have the talent that they can teach you. They just find themselves with an ability. There are people that didn't go to a school of art. But they can just sit there right from when they grow. They can carry biro and paper and draw anything they want to draw. And there are people that are born, as soon as they are born, they see vision. And there are people that their legs, football. Praise the Lord. You that don't have that ability, enter that football pitch. The crowd will drive you away. Praise the Lord. And so there are two types, therefore, of these talents. We have the natural talents, and we have the spiritual talents. The natural talents are talents like singing, it's natural, music, like I say, arts and crafts, including sports, ability in any area of sports, and even intellectualism. It's a gift. I was reading the news that a 14-year-old boy, I think either in Britain or in America, has finished his doctorate degree. He has finished his doctorate degree at the age of 14. You know, that is, and I was listening to the interview as he was talking. You know that this man is not talking his age. It's a talent, an intellectual talent. There are those that can write, express themselves by writing. They write books, intellectuals, scientists that make inventions by talent. They create things. Amen. They are there and they can sit down. It was the scientific talents that come by that knowledge that produce what we are seeing today, including electricity, aircrafts, and everything you can think of. The telephone, the computer, the internet is a special talent. Hallelujah. And there are people that can talk. They can talk. They are motivational speakers. When they talk, we talk to you and they look, talk. And then collect all the money you have. And you think that juju they use. My mouth. Praise the Lord. Some years back, when I was in the military, my boy somewhere, they forwarded him and collected his money. And they ran away, they disappeared. But I used the military intelligence. After about 2-3 months or so, they caught them in their hideouts. And when they brought him to my office, I told him, which charm did you use? He said, oh God, no be charm, no sense. I will never forget that. He said, no sense, no be charm. Praise the Lord. So there is a talent, it's an ability. Amen. Even commerce and business. Hallelujah. Commerce and business. There are people that, you know how to break through. You follow them now, they follow, go in market, they say, go, you don't know what's going to happen. You know somebody, and you can use it anyway. It's sense, they call it sense. I think somebody gave a testimony one time here, some years back. He thought it is a testimony. But after that, we had to tell him it is not a testimony. You were using a sense wrongly. In business, it is criminal. And he said he was making a lot of money, and he will import a television and then come and print the one. You go to China, they will make television sets, electronic sets, then he will print labels and see which one they move for market where. And they come and paste Sony, Samsung, paste and so. And he said he was making millions. He said there's no difference, anything, no difference between his own. He said no be low quality. He said no sense. That is a bad sense. It's a criminal sense. Don't do that. But I'm just trying to tell you how people, you know, use a lot of sense. It's a talent. You saw the police celebrating the arrest of that criminal, Evans. They were jumping, running for police to celebrate. It means the man gave them tough time. He was among them and they could not catch him. He was using a talent. Wrongly using it. Because every talent you have, you use it wrongly or you use it correctly, positively or negatively. Amen. Do you know that Oyibo too are witches? Eh? They use their own for development. We use our own to kill anybody progressing. In Africa, you are progressing, they kill you with your own, with their own invention. They can stay in your village and fire something and it will meet you in Idumota. But Oyibo have the same ability to say, if I can fire something and it can reach Idumota, then it means I can speak here and they will hear me there. So they invented telephone. Praise the Lord. Your own call. They use calabash, put water with the mirror, then they monitor everything where they do. Oyibo use their own and turn it to television. It's a talent. Praise the Lord. And they all come from God. Even acting, drama. You can imagine how somebody can do dramatized crying and you go crying, tears will come out. Nobody beat her, nobody do anything, but you go not condition your mind. It's a talent. And tears go, they come out. It's a talent. Drama. And so, these are also natural, I call them natural talents. Then we have spiritual talents. And these talents are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Can we read it now for the purpose of this teaching? From verse 1. Okay. Now, concerning spiritual gifts. Brethren, I will not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto this dumb idols, even as you were led. Whereof I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts. These are the talents. But the same Spirit. And there are diverse differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. From verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. To do what? To do what? Take note of that word, prophet. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. 9 of them. And if you also go to verse 28, I like to always call your attention to that. So that when we say 9 spiritual gifts, take note that there are actually 11. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, then helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So the gifts include help and government as spiritual gifts. And some have them in multiples. Some 2, some 3, some 5, some 10 talents. One person can have so many talents. Praise the Lord. But take note that every human being on earth is given a talent. Every human being on earth
has at least one.
No one is without these talents. And to the Christians, you are not a Christian until you are born again. You are not born again until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And once you come into the body of Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are born into a body of gifts. I tried to explain this several times, but if you observe some of the things I've spoken before, I keep repeating them in details because somebody will be hearing me for the first time somewhere, somehow. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, when we come to the parable of the talent, I say, once you are born again into the body of Christ, you are not redundant. I've been saying this over and over and over. Every one of you, Ephesians chapter 4 describes us as a joint that supplies something to the body. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, take time and read it. Try to let us understand that the body of Christ is one body. One body. Remember, it is a spiritual body. One body, but made up of members. And please, the members of this one body is not Catholic, Redeemed, Bride, Chosen, Anglican, Baptist, and these ones. That is not it all. One body, hallelujah. And that is the attempt organizations like the Christian Association of Nigeria try to do. That we may be one. Baptist. Sele. Olumba, Olumba. I'm sorry, I don't know Olumba there among them. Baptist, Sabbath, Anglican, Catholic, all of you. The Bible says we are many members, but one body. So let's come together in response to the prayer of Christ in John chapter 17, that they may be one, even as I am one with you. No, listen. It is not that type of oneness. So it is a spiritual body of Christ made of members, and those members are the individuals. Wherever you may be, by one spirit you are baptized into that body, and when you come, he used the physical body of a man like Moses. Alu, look at me here. Moses come, I will move forward. Moses is coming, but this one body that is moving is made up of the eye, is a member, the hand is a member, the leg is a member, the nose, the ear, every one of them have a function for this body. And Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 said there are some members, the ones that are even very, very important, they are not physically seen, they are hidden inside. And he says, when one member suffers, all the other members suffer with it. Praise the Lord. You will not know the importance of the eye until you go blind. The whole body cannot go anymore, cannot go anywhere anymore because there is no eye to show him the way. You will not know the importance of the ear until you are somewhere and they are saying things you cannot hear. So you cannot respond like other people are responding. You will know the importance of the leg until you have accident or you get paralyzed. You will know the importance of the heart that cannot be seen. Sister, every day, pancake, palm powder, palm oil, palm waiting, all over your body. Your focus is your hair, your hand, and your skin. Amen. But you are forgetting that the thing that makes the skin to shine is inside. Amen. The thing, amen. When any part of the body has problem, the head will react with a headache. The whole body will react with fever. If there's infection attacking anywhere, fever will come. And that is, and when one part rejoices, the rest rejoice with it. In a proper setting. That's why it's good to understand the body of Christ. Until Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, talking about the communion, he spoke how that because people eat the communion unworthily, he said many of them fall sick and many even die because they come before the Lord's table unworthily, he said, not discerning the Lord's body, not understanding the Lord's body. And he was not talking about fornication. He was not talking about gossip. He was not talking about, you know, anything that defiled the place. He was talking about the relationship with one another. How that we finish one another, we kill one another. There are people that don't talk to each other and they come before the Lord's table and to take bread and wine. It's because you don't understand what you are doing. If you know what you are doing, what you are speaking of, the body of Christ is a spiritual body. That thing you are holding, called the bread, the body of Jesus Christ, is speaking of all of us sitting down here. And then after taking that, you have, no love for one another, hatred and all the things we do against one another in a proper setting. If you're a true child of God, there will be sicknesses that will be found among you that cannot be cured. People will be dying anyhow in the church. In a true church, there will be embarrassing deaths that will embarrass the people. Because people approach the Lord's table wrongly. Forget those in error, the denominational people that don't even know the meaning of communion. But in a place like this where you have been properly taught, if you don't practice it, judgment follows. So it's important so that when you come into Christ, it's one body of Christ but made up of members. And these members have a part to supply. Your own part may be prophecy. Those are the gifts. Every gift there determines your office, determines your ministry, determines what you are to supply to the body. Praise the Lord. These gifts are what the Lord called the talents. Some have two, some have three. Some, maybe your own are only one, and I don't even know anyone who has only one. Amen. So he tried to explain something which is important that we try to look at in Luke chapter 19. Let's read Luke chapter 19. That is where the parable of the talent is. Luke chapter 19. And I'm reading from verse 11. And as Luke chapter 19 verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Who is that nobleman? Say very loud if you know it. Thank you. Jesus Christ. And he is still away now. He's still in that faraway country, even now as I'm speaking. Verse 13. And he called his 10 servants. It's figurative. They're not only 10, like the 10 foolish virgins, 5 foolish, 5 wise. It's figurative. He's just trying to give you a picture of what will happen. And delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. What are they supposed to do with those pounds? What were they supposed to do with it? They are to occupy, continue the work he was doing here before he left until he come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Who are those citizens? If you say, if you know something, say it boldly. If you don't know, shut up your mouth. If you know, then say it well. Thank you. Who are they? It's the Jews that refused him. He came to his own received him not. They refused. Hallelujah. And it came to pass, verse 15, that when he was returned, so one day he's going to come, isn't it? Having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. He said he will come back after he has received the kingdom. Listen, we are talking revelation. So as he is now, he has gone to receive the kingdom. Eh? When did he, in the scripture, where do we see him receiving the kingdom? It is in the revelation of the seals. Seal number one, seal number two, seal number three, as they were opening, they were the processes and all the battle and all that is going on to collect the title deeds of redemption that was lost in the Garden of Eden by Adam. And after he collected the book, hallelujah, he stands up from the mercy seat and comes to Revelation chapter 10 and lifts up the book that there should be time no longer. Hallelujah. And when he cried, glory be to God, the seven thunders uttered their voices. Cry like a lion. Revelation chapter 10 verses 1 to 6 says so. Hallelujah. He is now, they are now collecting the kingdom. The process of redemption. Waiting in the mercy seat until the last elect, whose name is written in the book of life, comes in. Then he stands up, hallelujah, and shuts the door. The door he closes, the door of salvation. And that's why now the door is still open. People are playing. There is going to be a time when there will be no more salvation. There will be no more salvation. And you know what? When the door is closed, people will still be going to church. And when salvation is over, the next thing that God will be dealing with, the next group of people that will be dealing with, will be only the bride who have been sealed. Hey, hallelujah. And everybody will be going to the church, but there will be a group of people that you will be having a special dealing with through the voice of the seven thunders. The seven thunder message. Whatever it is, no argument, but it is a stage in the divine agenda. Okay, which verse am I? That just quickened to me. Verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Everyone, you are going to account for that gift he has given you. That is why verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit. You are to profit with it. Hallelujah. You are to profit with it. And one day, we shall all stand before the judgment seat. We will face and give account. Let me finish that reading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, listen to how he put it. And he said to him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. When will that take place? In the millennium. Oh, glory. When we shall be coming back to rule on this earth, what you will do, what you are doing now, with the gift that God has given you, will determine the authority you will have. I just pray I can say it in a way that people will just, you know, take seriously that this gift that has been given to every one of us, there is a demand placed on it by God who gave it to us. Take note that the gift, I repeat, that God has given us, including this preaching gift that I have now, you know, I can take advantage of this now and do whatever I like to do with it. Amen. The prophetic gift you have, you can decide what you want to do with it. And you know one interesting thing? When he gives you that gift, he does not withdraw it. Once he gives you the gift, he will not take it away from you. Hallelujah. All through the period that he was there, according to that parable, trying to collect the kingdom, it was a long period, and the people were trading with it. There is no mention of, during that period, he went and said, I beg, wait, some people are misbehaving with the talent, make a correct something. You come, make a collect, then go back again and continue. No, go ahead. He is a very patient master. Then he will come and say, one by one, what did you do with the gift I gave you? The talent I gave you, what did you do with it? Amen. Let me finish that reading. Which verse am I? Verse 18. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest of that, thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, Abby. Taking of that, I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gave not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury, profit. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that had 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds now already. For I say unto you, that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those Jews, where are they? Those my enemies, which will not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And this time it's not only Jews, it is every unbeliever that had the gospel and rejected him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Take note, where we read in Romans chapter 14, that every man shall give account of himself before God. Every man shall give account of himself before God. And that is, every one of us will face judgment. Now there are 3 types of judgment, or 3 judgments existing. The first 2 belong to the believers, and only 1 belong to the unbelievers. Amen. The first one, praise the Lord, for the believers, is the judgment we have before the rapture. And the second one, for the believers, is the one we have after the rapture. And for the unbelievers, which is the 3rd one, it is the white throne judgment. Whatever the unbelievers are doing now, hallelujah, if you observe, God is not punishing them. Plus those who say there is no God is looking at them. Those who are killing the children of God, he's looking at them. It's not revenge, he's not doing anything. Those who are doing ritual, those who have turned him down, worshipping other gods, who have rejected Christ, making caricature of him, if you observe, God is just folding his hands and looking at them. And that was what happened in Psalm number 73. Psalm 73, David was wondering, why are the wicked prospering? Why is this among the wicked? He said he almost got stumbled until he came to realize, God revealed to him the end of them all. When he saw how every wicked man, wicked human being on earth will end up, then he repented of the way he felt. Don't be jealous of the progress or the prosperity of the wicked. Don't you be jealous at the progress of the wicked. Their judgment has been concluded. It's just waiting for the right time, or the time that is allotted for them. And that is the white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20. It is there. I hope everybody knows that scripture. Let's read it. Chapter 20, verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the dead and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is the judgment for the unbelievers. And nothing will stop it. Nothing will stop it. Until the prophet saw that hell has enlarged her coast. Hell that was meant for Lucifer and those angels that rebelled against God suddenly had more people working very hard to go to that same hell. So he had to increase the size. Amen. But for the believers, hallelujah, the first judgment, praise the Lord, is what we see in Hebrews chapter 12, before judgment. Verse 5. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 is a scripture we know from verse 5. Let me read it up to verse 11. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he received. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, you have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We have had fathers of our faith which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So what is the first judgment before the rapture? For every believer, it is chastisement. As a father deals with his child on earth here, that is how our Heavenly Father deals with his children. Here, every true child of God, you commit anything, God will judge you here. He will punish you. I say this, there are some of us here, it is because of disobedience to God. It may be God chastening that your business has folded up. You're a daughter of God, you're a son of God, and you will not control yourself with your sexual urges by obedience to the word of God. Sleep all around. Part of the punishment can be a deadly disease. We catch you, so they go anywhere. Even if they put vaccine, take you go anywhere, you will not a cure. They go send a spiritual. Go for deliverance. No, nobody can cure you. Go put it there, and some you will be with it all and die with it. But you are still his son. You are not going to hell, because you have received the Holy Ghost. Church, once you have received the Holy Ghost, you are saved. And once you are saved, forever you are saved. But whom he loves, he chastens you. That is why Satan is a servant of God. And it's always when children of God are gathered, he comes around. Hi God, any assignment for me? That's how he heard about Ahab. He said, I can do it. And he gather. He said, you keep talking. You have been tempting people everywhere. Have you considered my servant Job? And then he told him, Job, who not go serve you if you bless him the way you bless Job? Now, because you bless Job now. And then they were betting. I bet you. Just release me, make I go now. Just release me. God tell and say, I know Job. It's not because of the blessing he's serving me. Ah, may God give that type of testimony concerning me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When I was undergoing my own trial and temptation, serious frustration 1 year, very serious. You see, sometimes God will allow you to undergo some trials and temptation up to the humiliating aspect. You'll be humiliated. And then one day I locked my door. Cry, finish. I clean my tears. Then I begin to talk. I said, Satan, listen to me. I know you are letting me do all this right because of my faith. You think I will change my mind? I will not change my mind. If you like, kill me. If you like, kill me. I will serve this, but I will not bend my faith. I clean my tears, open door, come out. I continue. Harder than before. What did I do? Can't stop me. But that devil was always moving up and down. And God said, go. I give you authority. Do anything you like. But don't touch his life. Don't kill him. Amen. Somebody here, you are sure of your testimony before God. Whatever you are going through, God is aware. Hallelujah. Don't disappoint God. Let God boast of you. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. Don't think it is because she's looking for a husband, that's why she's serving me. Don't think because he's looking for business, that's why he's serving me. Don't think it is because he has money, that's why he's serving me. Take anything away. I know him. Oh, may that be my testimony in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So take note that once you are a true child of God, that's why I told you something. Every one of you here, and I'll continue to repeat it. That if you say you are a minister of God, you are a daughter of God, you are a son of God, and you are living a life of total disobedience to the word of God, you are doing everything the unbeliever is doing. All the abominations. Do you know there are some pastors that are homosexuals? And the anointing is increasing. Do you know there are pastors that are fornicators? Do you know there are prophets that have girlfriends in the church? And the anointing is increasing. It's a mystery, isn't it? It's no longer a mystery. Our eyes of understanding, he has opened it. It's no longer a mystery, he has opened it. Listen. A
and you are doing all this and no judgment has come upon you,
there is only two reasons.
It is either God is stretching his patience with you to hope that you will come to your senses one day and repent,
or he's waiting for the cup of your iniquity to be full,
so that when he will descend on you, there will be no mercy. They are the type, when the thing strike them, now die straight, then they die. Or secondly, it is evidence that you have, he has nothing to do with you. You are none of his. But how come he's anointed? How come he has a talent? Yes, he has a talent. God gave him the talent, but he's waiting for the day of reckoning. For his own, he will not let you go too far. He will deal with you so that you can repent.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah.